can you take us through a typical episode day, a day on the set from start to finish, when you first arrive? And
it will change. Once we get the script, I'll read the script, break it down in terms of what's called for in the script. If it's a bedroom suite or it's a hotel suite, and I make a list of all the sets. Then we start scouting. We decide that if we're going to be out 1 day or 2 days, then we start scouting for. I decide with the producers, we have a meeting about what I think we should build, what we can build, what we can afford to build, and then what would be locations. And believe me, that changes, because if we can't find something, then we wind up building it, and that happens quite a bit. And then we start scouting, while we're scouting, I'm designing. I have a couple of days to start designing the sets, and then once I do design the sets, my construction coordinator he bids the sets. We get the bids approved, and then it's full go. We start building. My set designer starts doing all the working drawings, because everything you see that we build is detailed working drawings.
So
that's really important.
So who approves your bids? The producers, Andrew and Rob and Lori?
Howard Rigsby. He's the one who produces. Yes.
I met him briefly.
Yes.
And then do you ever sketch, or just your set designer's sketches? Do you sketch anymore?
I sketch, but not a lot, because what we do now is we Photoshop. So I do a lot of Photoshopping.
Okay.
Because it's easier and faster. Television. You move very quickly. We don't have the luxury to sit down and do sketches. So it's all on the computer, and thank God for the computer, because if it wasn't for the computer,
yay.
I mean, we don't even draft by hand anymore, because you can't do that.
All of us geeks just went, yay, Alfred, we love you. So do you use project plans and all the current planning tools that are out there for
all the stuff, all the programs that's out there for architecture, and we also use SketchUp.
Okay.
SketchUp is a great tool to start modeling.
Uh-huh.
So we do 3D models and Vectorworks. We do all our plans in Vectorworks.
Cool. I know what that is.
Oh, good.
Well, so you said you scout locations. So when you're going off the studio set, do you go with somebody that goes with you and you throw around ideas? Do you go with the writer, the producers, or with your team?
Yes, we get in the van. We have a meeting first, and we sit down and we discuss. We talk with the writers and for their vision of what they're looking for in terms of the sets. And then I start working with the location manager, and we put together a presentation, and he'll also scout on his own, because he does a lot of scouting on his own, and he'll come to me with photographs, and we weed out what I think would be something that we shouldn't be looking at, and then we meet with the director, the producer, and the writer, and we show them pictures, and then we go off in the van based upon what they see. And we start scouting.
Okay. Cheryl, do you have anything to add there?
For scouting, the only thing that I noticed last summer, several of us fans got together in Los Angeles before Comic-Con and went around to a lot of the external locations. For example, one that pops in my mind is when they did the Halloween episode, and there's that one building that has all the graffiti on it. And we tried to take pictures almost identical to the external scene.
Right.
And we noticed that there was like a whole bunch of stuff there that really wasn't in the episode. You guys made signs up and all kinds of street stuff. It was just fascinating to me that your crew had to have gotten out there, removed a chain link fence, did all this stuff. It was just amazing.
Yeah.
Amazing to me.
Yes, and that's what we do. They get the sets ready, and we change. Once we're on a location, lots of times at location, we're always adding things. If it's an interior space, we're adding walls and doors, and if it's exterior, we dress each exterior set to look much like what the script calls for.
Well, I'm curious this personally. You know, I'm getting ready to remove a wall in my house, and I have to go
get a hammer. I have a hammer. I will send it to you.
Can you head to Kansas?
No. My question is, I have to go to the city and get a permit to build anything or remove anything.
Yes.
Do you guys have
to
do that too?
No, we don't do that. We have guidelines. I mean, I have to work in terms of structural guidelines. It's like theater, building for theater. It's
fire marshal law.
Because we work so quickly, there are fire codes, and there's all kinds of rules and regulations that are applied to us in the film industry when we're building. So, but it's different.
So when you guys leave for the season, do you get to keep any of the sets up, or everything goes down and stored?
Did somebody use
the studio after you?
No one uses the studio. We lock the doors and we make an inventory of everything, and we just walk away. And sometimes if we don't know if we're getting picked up, then we really clean up. We clear out the offices and pack everything up. But you know, last year we got picked up for more, and then this year we got picked up again. So
Your offices with them like they are.
Yeah.
Well, how long
does
it take you to put up and take down a temporary set, you know, an estimate for your average set, to take it down and put it back up if you're not using, say, Beckett's Loft or the morgue or whatever?
The morgue is a permanent set. We never take that down. We take sections of it down because I need it to, when we're filming in the when we're filming in the precinct, the part of the morgue is a little bit in the way of the precinct, the window. So I take part of the morgue to set down. But the police station is a permanent set. We never take that down. The morgue, you know, 75% of the morgue is a permanent set, the bullpen. And Castle's apartment we never take that down.
How about the captain's office is a permanent set too, right?
Yeah,
the
interior, yes, the break room, that's all part of the precinct.
So is it cheaper to build a set, a room, say a hotel room, rather than rent out a real hotel room for shooting purposes?
It is cheaper because in terms of, first of all the trucks and all the parking and all that stuff, to shoot out in downtown Los Angeles, it costs them something like $40,000 to $50,000 just to do that, to park the trucks and to do that. So they'll come to me and say, if we don't have to go out, can you build this set? And so that money will come to me, and then I have to build a hotel suite or something if they're going to be there for a couple of days. And it's also script driven. I don't build if there's a scene in a hotel and it's only one page. It doesn't pay to build, but if they're in the hotel room for two or three pages and it makes a day or 2 days, then they most likely will build it.
Worth it.
Well, when you do go out, do you have to stay within so many miles of the studio to try to stay cost effective within that $40,000 to $50,000?
They have this kind of thing that what's in the limits of where you should be. So that's about mileage and paying the crew. It has something to do about the crew, and so we always have to make sure because they don't want the trucks to travel. They don't want the, you know, we're like a circus. They don't want to travel for hours and hours, pitch a tent, and then don't have the time to shoot. So it's really important that we pick locations and stay closer to the studio. So there isn't that travel time, because when we go the further we go out, it takes away from the director's time actually working.
So you used recycled material from your old sets for your new ones.
Yes.
Say like when you blew up Beckett's apartment, did you use anything that we wouldn't notice because we didn't really get to see it that long, though it was beautiful?
Well,
they blew it up, and then we get Do we get any of that stuff in her new loft, which is also what I could live easily in both of her apartments, than castles?
No,
so
actually,
this is nice.
When we blew it up, it was gone. It was really gone. So we started over with their new apartment.
Well, was it difficult to design the blown up apartment when Castle goes in and gets her out of the bathtub?
No, that was fun. I mean, I that's
soot everywhere.
That's the magic of making movies, you know, or television. You know.
Did you watch that episode, Boom?
Yeah.
Okay, come on. Now, would you have carried Beckett out of there? In the script, he lets her walk all the way out of this blown-up apartment.
I know,
with debris everywhere.
On the glass.
I know.
And
when I saw that, I said, excuse me. You know?
Thank you.
But if you notice, and that's the other thing they did is they swept a path. So if you look really carefully, there's a path swept for them to walk because they cleared the debris, because I had debris everywhere.
You would carry
anybody,
would try to carry them across there with bare footed,
right.
You know they would be
right.
cut to smithereens.
I'm grateful you noticed that, Alan. Thank you.
And I had things that they were supposed to step over because it was, you know, the building was blown up, right? And it was totally clear. It was like this, you know, it's like a shoveling snow where you have this great pathway. And
that's funny. Well, you designed both lofts or apartments for Beckett.
Yes.
Which
yes.
was your favorite and which was the most challenging to make?
The new one. I love
the new
one.
Okay,
yeah.
I do too. But
yeah.
the
yeah.
other one was, I love the stuff you guys put in it. They're both really neat.
And
so
that's
the second
my decorator,
one was hard.
Claire. She's, yeah. The first one was, you know, it was a little bit different because we were struggling with her identity,
right.
And then the second one, and we had it was really fast when they decided they were going to build her apartment. I literally had one day to design it. I was kind of like, you know, it was kind of. I was moving quickly, and I wasn't sure if I was really doing the right thing. But at the end, it, you know, it all fell into place, and I was really happy with it.
Well, people love to see her apartment, and they love to see them on their downtime away from the precinct because they get to see, even though it's fictional and these are you know, not real characters, people want it to look as real as possible. And this is something for Claire.
Right.
Is I love that she has the hand soap on the sink, the little coffee cups, the hand towels,
the
porch chair, the chair out on the porch through the window, because that makes it doesn't look so stark naked. As a viewer, you think, they're, you know, and the colors, the pillows, and everything is just great as far as the books on the staircase, you know, it looks lived in. That's great that their detail for their eye for detail.
Yeah, and Claire is amazing. And the thing about the books too, having been a New Yorker, you know, is this there was a and not the books. You know, you watch a lot of sets, and there's no books, and there's no, you know, there's no, you know, the thing.
Clutter.
We do three layers of clutter. That's how we work it. You know, we start with the basics, then we add another layer and another layer because, you know, it's like people live in a place and over the years they add on, they get more stuff and get more stuff. And with television, I kind of noticed that the more it's because they shoot very close, a lot of close-ups, you need to have a lot of stuff, eye candy. I call it eye candy, and it's important. Yeah.
Well, when you built these apartments and being the designer and you work with your design team, did you take into account Stana's height with or without the high heels for the shelves, the situations of the countertops, and the same for Nathan being very tall when you, you know, most people nowadays like to measure their, if they're going to build a home, their counter. So did you take that into account?
Yes. And also, they had a we take those counters apart. So in Nathan's kitchen, we take that's divided into three sections. So it's for the camera to get around. So it's also designed to come apart and roll away.
Wow.
Now, I have a question from a fan, who a listener who is in college right now and in Amsterdam, or I think she's in Holland. Her name is Arlene. Her name is Pencil Panda on Twitter. She has this question because she said she couldn't call in because she's in classes at college, and she said to ask you this. She really wanted to talk to you. She wanted to know, and I'll read the question. My question has to do with the different styles between the castle and the Becket lofts. Castle's place is quite modern, and Becket's place is very cultural. Notice the Buddha at the door. I was wondering, should these two ever get together and move in together, how would we combine the two styles, and what style would have the upper hand? Please ask Alfred.
Well, like any couple, you got to start throw everything out and start all over. You know, that's my wish. Because who wants to fight over, hey, this is mine, this is yours, this is mine, this is yours. And Castle would be the kind of guy who would say to her, you know, let's, you know, and she would agree, I would think, that let's, you know, let's start all over. Let's go, you know.
So who do you think will win out, her loft or his?
Probably his. It's bigger.
And he's got the daughter and the mom. Huh?
Right.
What's the name of the show? Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
And Amy, her name is Castle Fan Forever from Ireland, and it's in the middle of the night there, and she wanted to call in, but she couldn't call in. And she asked you, did Stana have any say in how she wanted her loft to look, the style, the colors?
Yes, she did. In respect for her, as the star of the show, I went, and I also, somehow I've become friends, and it's just one of those miracles of just, you know, of this business, you know. She comes to my farm, she spends time on my farm, and in respect for her, because she's very smart. Sana's a, both Nathan and Sana are very smart people.
Yeah.
And, I sat and talked with Sana about what she thought Castle, you know, Becket would like, and how she, you know, how she conducted her life, where would she go on weekends, who, you know, who's her friends, and you know, we kind of set up this thing where she, you know, she would spend her time in museums, and she wanted to get totally away from her world. In the police station,
right.
And she would be kind of an eclectic shopper. You know, she would see something, fall in love with it, bring it home, and then, you know, she would take another 6 months and buy a couch or buy a pillow. You know, it's not, you know,
that's
it's
a
like
typical, woman.
New York, yes, a typical New Yorker too. So,
yeah.
But one of the things I had promised Donna was that I was determined to give her an all white apartment, and we had talked, you know, about, you know, everything being white on white on white on white. And then I realized as I was doing it, it was the wrong call, because she's not a cold person. She's a very warm person, and she's a very loving person. And one of the things you like about her is she's, you know, she is that way. I switched over to the other tones. And I must say, Stana was a sweetheart, because she was disappointed, because we had looked at magazines together and we talked about how great the white would be, and so I switched, and I, you know, and so she was, but then once she saw it, she was happy.
Hey,
but
Pam,
I had to go over and say, Stana, I'm so sorry, I'm not painting your place white. And she looked at me like, are you kidding? I'm going to break both of your legs.
Wow, she probably
now that sounds like her.
Yeah.
Don't put a knife in her hand. That's all we
know. Yeah. Well, that was great.
One of our Twitter